Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare Specialist Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host, entrepreneur, author, and insurance broker. Happy to help with any questions. I help a lot of seniors with their Medicare plans daily. It's my main task as an insurance agency owner. I work with over 30 different companies. I definitely can help with choosing the right plan and getting the most competitive rates. You can always call or text me anytime, 850-632-0033. Again, that's Justin, 850-632-0033. So today's podcast, we're going to talk about Medicare supplement plans. What is the best Medicare supplement plan for 2021? That is the question we're going to unpack today in a couple different segments. So the first portion, I'm just going to talk about in general, a high level, what a Medicare supplement plan is, how it works, how it functions, what kind of plans are there, how do you pick the plan, and how do you go about securing it. So we'll kind of get into that. And in the second segment, we'll cover more of the specifics. So definitely stick around for that second portion. We're going to talk about Plan F, Plan G, Plan N, and High Deductible Plan F. Those are the main four. There's other plans, but they're not really of concern. These are the four plans that are most common that we see in practice today. So we'll kind of go through those, the differences, what makes each plan unique, and which plans are most popular, and which one that I think is the best plan, which is kind of a loaded question, of course. So best plan can be different for each person, of course, right? It does depend on, you know, what your factors are, age, what you're looking for, what your current health status is, how much coverage you want, your budget, a lot of things at play when you're making that choice. So it's really not a one-size-fits-all approach to this when we're making that selection. It really just varies by client. And some customers may prefer a Medicare Advantage plan, which we've talked about in previous shows as the alternative to Medicare in a different structure. And in Florida, particularly here in Tallahassee, that's very common. A lot of customers do the Advantage route because it just sometimes makes more sense dollars and cents-wise. But I'm a national firm. I do business in over 40 states, represent over 30 different insurance companies. So a good chunk of my practice is Medicare supplements. I'd probably say around 60 to 70%, and then 30 to 40% is Medicare Advantage, and a lot of it depends on the market and state and county in which you reside. Let's just jump in real quick. So in terms of supplements, what does it mean? Medicare is great insurance. We'll just preface it with that. It's a great program. It's a great structure. It's your primary coverage you've worked your whole life for. And then once you draw Medicare at 65 and older, you have this great plan, but it just wasn't designed to pay all the bills, obviously. It does pay the majority of them, 80%. And there's some deductibles. There's 20% coinsurance. That's the main thing. Is at 20%. So a lot of people will get a Medicare supplement plan, also known as Medigap. So those terms are kind of tossed around a lot in the industry. It means the same thing. There's nothing different. It's just, you know, tomato, tomato. It's the same program, referred to as different names. So any plan that's lettered like the alphabet, Plan F, Plan G, Plan N, High Deductible F, Plan K, etc. There's actually 10 of them out there. They're all considered Medigap or Medicare supplement plans, and they all pay a little bit differently. And so when I talk to customers, we look at, again, budget, desires, current health condition, number of doctor visits. A lot of factors go into play to determine which plan that we're going to select. So I don't want to seem like there's, like, again, a one-size-fits-all approach to this. You do have to look at this individually and each person's unique interest. So the Medicare supplement plans, how do they function? Well, the first thing is it's very simple. They all work the same. So that's the nice thing is when you're choosing Medigap or Medicare supplement coverage, you just look at the letter. That's what denotes the plan specifics. So if you're looking at Plan G, as in George, there's no difference with that plan from Cigna, Aetna, Mutual of Omaha, Blue Cross, AARP, or any other smaller company, even if companies never heard of. It's not going to matter. The only thing that will change is the rate. You know, the premium you'll pay. So the rates will, of course, vary, but the coverage is unique in that it's all standardized. So that's very clean and easy to understand for most seniors. A G is a G, an N is an N. They're going to all perform identically. And yes, the providers are all the same as well. Doesn't matter. You know, if you ask your doctor and they say, well, we don't take Humana, okay? That's irrelevant when you're talking about a Medicare supplement. And the reason that is that Medicare is the primary insurance of record. The supplement is the secondary. It doesn't matter what they tell you. if they take traditional Medicare, which is the red, white, and blue card, Medicare A and B, they will take whatever supplement plan you have. I actually had a phone call literally on the way into the show this morning, and someone in New Jersey said his doctor's office didn't take Humana. I said, that's incorrect. You have a Humana supplement. Now, if it was a Humana Advantage plan, it'd be different because that's a replacement of Medicare. It's a different way to experience Medicare. But supplements, Medigap plans, lettered plans, it doesn't matter what they tell you. A lot of doctor's offices, the folks behind the glass window, many times are just misinformed. And they may be partly correct in that they don't take Humana, but maybe it's a Humana Advantage. Maybe it's a Humana commercial plan. And I'm just using Humana as an example. It could be anybody. It could be Cigna or Aetna. But those are managed care plans that have networks. Supplements don't have networks. Never have. They just piggyback off of Medicare. It's like literally the tail of the dog. Medicare is in control. If they take Medicare, any supplement plan you have, it's going to work just the same. So it really is pretty uniform. And so what we do is a lot of times is go from a top-down approach where the customer say, here's the top plans I think that have worked for you in your area. Typically, it's GNN, okay? And then between that, we decide on a plan, and then we just find the lowest or most competitive rate for that plan in that area. That's generally how we kind of go about doing it. And I represent over 30 companies, so I can shop all the carriers, and the rates will vary by marketplace. So in a lot of markets right now, Aetna is most competitive, but not all the time. But they are consistently competitive. Mutual of Omaha, another big name, AARP, Cigna, Manhattan Life, and there's many others. So just something to kind of keep in mind, and that's something I can help you with. Just call me if you have questions with that, 850-632-0033. Again, all my consultations are complimentary. If you're just tuning in with us today, it's Justin Colvin here, you know, Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast, and we're just going over the top Medicare supplement plans in 2021. So we're kind of in our first segment, just going over some of the basics and high-level information regarding Medicare and the supplements, or i.e. Medigap plans. So continuing on, how many companies are out there? That's another question I have that gets asked. Most people are familiar with the big names. Some of them I've already referenced. Aetna, Cigna, Humana, United Healthcare, which goes by AARP, Blue Cross, Mutual of Omaha. But there are many. There's actually, I think last count, over 160 companies that offer Medicare supplement plans. Now, do I have all those? No. Some of them I'm not able to represent. They may be captive. Some of them are just not competitive. Many of them are very, very small companies that just jumped into business literally in the last few years. And this number is expanding rapidly. There's a lot of companies that are – I get emails all the time from other companies looking for me to contract with them to represent their products. And so I take that very seriously as far as what companies I'm going to vet and bring into my product portfolio. I want to make sure that these companies have a reputation of excellence. They're got a high credit rating, and they're not just fly-by-nights looking to join the marketplace. So these are all things that you'll want to kind of look at with a competent insurance advisor because it does make a difference in terms of like stability on the rates. The performance will work the same. So I don't want to misrepresent that, you know, an Aetna Plan G is better than, say, a US Fire or Medico Plan G, which are small companies. You may not even know those names. They will work exactly the same, not one bit of difference. The rates will be different. Customer service now will be definitely different as well as stability of the rates, length of time in the business. So a lot of people that are coming to Medicare look for kind of a bigger branded name, and some are looking more for just the best rate. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's why I have so many companies, because it just depends on what the consumer is looking for. But I typically find in any given market, there's generally at least one or two big branded names that everybody's familiar with, like an Aetna, like a Cigna, that are just as competitive, within $5 to $10 of the lowest rate. So if you can have Aetna or Cigna or another big name and it's $5 to $10 more, I would take that. You know, now, if it's a bigger spread, maybe $20 or $30 a month, maybe you might give the nod to the smaller one. But this is something I can go over with you when we speak, or if you have questions. You can also check out my website. And again, it's www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. And so how do I choose the most competitive one? There's all these companies. How do I get the rates? There are some quote engines you can find online. Typically, they don't give you all the rates, and typically you have to give up your information. You get spammed with phone calls and emails and text messages because, I mean, it's, you know, they're insurance agents like myself, so they're going to try to market to you. My approach is much more hands-on and not as aggressive, right? So I'm happy just to give you the information and kind of leave it like that, you know, and see if you – I look at myself as an educator and try to give you as much data as you need to make your decision and what you would like to do. Hopefully you decide to retain me and use me to place the business. There's no cost to you. The rates are the same whether you use me or if you call the insurance company directly. Doesn't matter one bit. But I bring a lot of value in that I help shop your plan, review everything every year, go over a lot of the questions, address all the customer service issues, and that's key. So kind of wrapping up here, what we're going to dig into in our second segment is the plans themselves, which is, I know, the main reason you're listening here. I want to kind of preface everything, though, briefly, just to give you some background. But we'll dig into Plan F, G, N, and High Deductible F in about a few minutes. We're going to pay some bills. We'll be right back with you. Again, it's Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. Stick around. We'll talk to you soon. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show and Podcast. This is Justin Colvin, your host, and we're going to be delving into our second segment, going over what is the best Medicare supplement plan in 2021. So our first portion, we kind of went over just high level what Medicare supplement plans are, what they're also called, which is Medigap, how to choose a Medigap plan, are there any differences among the letter types? Of course there are, but each letter type is the same. Just kind of the basics, which many of you probably are aware of, but I want to kind of do that as a refresher, almost like a supplement 101 course. Now we're going to kind of get into the specifics of the plan type. So there's actually 11 different Medicare supplement plans out there. And the 10th and 11th, I'll say, is like the F and the high deductible F. But the three or four that we're going to hone in on today, because there's a lot of plans, but it's kind of like the 80-20 rule, 20% of your deals come from, or 80% of your deals may come from 20% of people, but just that number kind of works itself out in a lot of things in life, 80-20. So the 20% of plans that are actually chosen, the ones that are most commonly selected by seniors today, are going to be the F, the G, the N, and there's a high deductible F. Now, I'll say F, I'll preface that, because the F plan, there's a lot of like misinformation right now, and I'll kind of just set the record straight. So there was a piece of legislation that was passed called MACRA. M-A-C-R-A, MACRA, and this stands for the Medicare, I can't even think of the name right now, I'm drawing a blank, but bottom line, this piece of legislation is back in 2015, it kind of modernized Medicare. One of the good things they did was they eliminated the social on your Medicare card. So a lot of folks have already noticed that in the last 2 or 3 years, they've gotten a new Medicare card, there's a Medicare number that's very specific, but it's not your social, so it kind of helps with keeping your identity safe and not having your personalized information on a Medicare card. The second thing was that the legislators felt like the Plan F supplement, which historically has been one of the most popular plans, covered all the bills, okay? So you had nothing out of pocket. So you'd have Medicare A and B, and you have a Plan F supplement. Plan F would just pay everything. Doesn't cover prescriptions, but all your approved Medicare charges for Part A and Part B Medicare is all paid in full. You pay nothing.
It's a Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act, MACRA.
Very good. So that is the piece of legislation. Thank you, Bobby Brown, our producer. So that piece of legislation, if you want to Google it, it's a long read, but just the basics of those two components, number one being that the Medicare card was revamped to include a specific number, not your social, so that's good. The second thing, it could be good or bad, but it's just saying they didn't want to have full coverage on the supplement. They wanted to have seniors have some type of payment responsibility within the supplement mechanism. And so before there was nothing. I mean, so they felt like people might have abused it and gone to the doctor too often, even just for like a runny nose. And so there's no copay, no deductible, no co-insurance. Everything's just paid in full. That's the old Plan F. And it's still available. A lot of folks are being told, oh, you can't get Plan F. Oh, that's not available. You're going to lose your Plan F. If you ever change your Plan F, you'll never get it back. Wrong. So the way it works is if you are eligible for Medicare as of January 1st, 2020, and that's the first time that you receive your Medicare, then you're not eligible to get Plan F. So it only impacts the newbies to Medicare, essentially. So the easy way to remember this, if you're born in 1955, which means you turned 65 years of age in 2020, right? That's how it works. If you're getting your Medicare for the first time as of January 1st, 2020, those individuals are no longer eligible to get the Plan F. I never sold a lot of Plan F anyway because, I mean, it's an expensive premium. It's the richest plan, and with insurance, if you don't have any deductible or copay, typically you're going to pay more. to have that luxury, to have everything just paid. So it's not in your best interest anyway. But a lot of folks like the peace of mind knowing I can just pay a premium. Yes, it's expensive. Yes, it goes up more than the other plans, but I pay one premium. Everything's covered. No hassles. And that's fine if that's what you want. But it's just not available to the newbies, as I mentioned, as of January 2020. Everybody else that has Plan F, they can keep it. It's not going anywhere. They can change to Plan G and come right back to Plan F. There's nothing saying they can't stay with Plan F or choose Plan F. It's just those new individuals. But that's Plan F, pays everything, has the most expensive premiums. It also goes up in price the most. So we don't write a lot of Plan F at the Medicare Help Desk Insurance Agency. The ones I do write a lot of most commonly are Plan G and N. So G is just one small step down from F. Okay, so G is in George. The only difference that you have on Plan G, you have a small deductible. Presently, it's $203 once a year. It's the Medicare Part B as in boy deductible, and that's it. That's all you have to pay. Everything's paid in full, just like Plan F, except you have to meet this deductible first, and that's a small deductible. When a lot of individuals I have that come off employer plans, they've got, you know, $750, $1,500, maybe even larger deductibles. Sometimes individual insurance through the ACA, Obamacare, it can be $5,000 deductibles or larger. So this is a very small deductible, and then all your bills are paid thereafter. So it's such a subtle difference. However, the rates are a lot more attractive with Plan G. So that's one of the main reasons we write a lot more Plan G. It just comes out more cost-effective, and it makes sense. No different than an auto or homeowner's insurance. Would you have your coverage paid everything, 100%, no deductible? No, that's not common. Most people are going to have a deductible for comprehensive, a deductible for collision. And most agents would recommend you do that because you're going to get a lower rate. It's just more cost effective. It's no different with health insurance. It's the same concept. You know, as you bring in some more payment responsibility, you get a better premium, right? Also, the rate stability is better. So the future rate increases. That's the other thing. These rates are going to go up. So you want to ensure that the plan you pick is going to have better stability. And that's why historically Plan G has been a better fit. Now, there's one other plan I'll go over too, actually two more. One more in depth would be Plan N, as in Nancy. And that, I do a lot of Plan N too. So Plan N is one step below the G. If you want to kind of think of it like an award or something, almost like gold, silver, bronze. F is the richest in coverage typically because it pays everything. Not the best premium, but is the richest. One step down is the Plan G as in George we just covered. And that could be like your silver, okay? And then bronze would be like Plan N. But I'm just trying to give you some ways to think about this conceptually. But Plan N is the same as the Plan G, so you still have that $203 deductible once a year, okay? Then you have copays, office visit copays of up to $20 per doctor visit, and up to $50 if you go to the emergency room. However, the rates are quite a bit less on Plan N. Depends on the market, but here in Florida, and locally where I'm at in Tallahassee, the rates, there's definitely enough margin. It's typically $40 to $50 a month less than the Plan G. So for many of the Florida residents, if I'm writing a supplement plan, and a lot of times I'm doing a Medicare Advantage plan, but if I'm not, if I'm doing a supplement plan, then usually I'm presenting G and N, and a lot of times the consumer is choosing N because it just makes more sense. Typical rates here in Tallahassee, let's say someone 66, 67 years of age, non-smoker, probably for Plan G, you're looking at $170 to $190 a month. And then the Plan N would be $40 to $60 less than that. I've seen them for as little as $120 to $140. So that's a pretty big margin of difference, and the only thing you're giving up is that you have a copay. I mean, most people are used to copays. That's the norm, right? And if you don't doctor a lot, if you don't have a lot of doctor visits throughout the year, it makes complete sense because many times it's a $400 to $600 a year savings on N versus the G. Well, I mean, that's going to be, what, 20, 30 doctor visits? What's the odds of you going to a doctor 20, 30 times a year consistently? Year over year. And remember, this office copay is up to $20. It doesn't mean it will be $20. I have a lot of feedback from my customers where it's $10, $15. Sometimes they don't even charge you. The onus is on the doctor's office. It's at their discretion. Now, the way I tell people is just be pleasantly surprised if it's less than $20, but expect $20. Go into it with the worst case scenario because the max is $20. Most people just aren't seeing that. They're seeing $10 or $15. Sometimes they don't even get the deductible or copay rather. And there's a lot of situations where you wouldn't have the copay anyway. For example, preventative, you know, your wellness visit, flu shot, colonoscopy, mammograms for women. So these items they want to encourage you to do. You don't have to pay the copay. It's not imposed on those visits. So if you take that out of the equation, really how many visits are you going to have where you have that copay? And then again, it's up at 20. So when I tell people this, they typically look at it and say, yeah, the end makes total sense. And it usually does. Now, there's some markets in the country like Mississippi and some other states where the rate difference between the N and the F is very, very fractional. Okay. So in that position, we'll probably just stick with a G. So it has to make sense, obviously, for dollars and cents, because you are taking the copay with the plan N. There's one other thing I really won't get into because it's kind of getting into the weeds, but it's the excess charges. That's another provision that's not covered under plan N. It is covered under plan G. However, it's very rare. It just doesn't come up very often. I'm probably going to devote an entire podcast to the excess charges because it's a little complicated. But the bottom line is 97% to 98% of all the physicians in the country do not charge excess. And it's very rare. It's typically where we see it's big metropolitan areas where the cost of living is higher. Even then, it's somewhat obscure, okay? And a lot of times it's specialists. But it's just kind of getting into a zone that's a little bit confusing. So I'll probably spend an entire show just covering that component. But of those three plans, I'd probably write G and N 80 to 90% of the time. One of the last thing I'll just touch on briefly is the high deductible plan F, now rebranded into the high deductible plan G because of MACRA. This plan, we write just occasionally. I'll probably do a whole other segment on this plan, but we just do it occasionally. It has a very large deductible, $2,300. Most seniors don't typically want to have that much risk on their plan, but it does work in some cases because that's a very, very low premium. But hopefully that gives you some good information to go on. Be happy to spend more time with you. If you've got questions, give me a call about today's show, 850-632-0033. My website, www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. Again, Justin Colvin, and we'll be looking forward to next week with more interesting information about Medicare and all things retirement. Your host, Justin Colvin, signing out. Have a great week.